You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
And what is the mission of church multiplication?
And training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
You do such a good job, man.
It almost sounded canned.
What?
That the intro, because you just interrupted, but I just kept on going. It almost sounded like I had finally canned and pre-recorded the intro. But no,
that's not you.
Maybe on episode 301.
301, maybe.
So help us get to 200 reviews on iTunes, and you'll get 200 reward points from New Churches to help you as a thanks, as an appreciation.
Thanks. All right, let's do this, man.
Yeah, let's listen in to Randy's question.
This is Pastor Randy from St. Pete, Florida, and my question today is, how old is too old to be a church planter? I'm in my mid-50s, and some people think that I am too old to be a church planter. As a pastor, I could be one that maybe plants churches through my church, but am I one that's too old to go out and actually be the pastor that plants a church? And I would like to be one that plants a church. So how old is too old? Thanks for answering my question, guys.
Well, I am glad that I'm glad that Randy's only in his mid-50s, because late 50s is kind of when I'd make that cutoff.
You?
Yeah, really? Late 50s,
dude,
not mid-50s.
I don't care. Like, I have an uncle who's in his 70s. And if he told me he was going to plant a church, I'd be like, go for it, bro.
I'm joking.
Diesel.
I'm joking. So, but let's talk about competencies, because I think this is where our conversation needs to go, right? Because part of it is, Randy, I so appreciate your heart for the kingdom and your desire to reach the lost. Because when you look at the statistics, church plants are far, you know, they're very effective at reaching the lost and engaging into new communities and new neighborhoods versus churches that have been around for a few years. All right. So that's fantastic. And I can only imagine that you are wanting to plant a church because you want to be more evangelistically oriented. And not saying that bigger churches, older churches can't get there, but that's just one of those facts about brand new churches when we look at our statistics, that they just have a unique way, a unique advantage in reaching the lost. But I think we need to talk about competencies, right? Because it's not a matter of how old you are, if you can be a church planter or not. I think it comes down to, number one, is God calling you to plant a church? Number two, when? Because timing does play into that. Just because you may feel a calling to plant a church doesn't mean that that is synonymous with a now. It might be in a few years. God may need to do a deeper work in your heart before he sends you out. Maybe he's going to send you out now. But I think the third question is, what does it look like to be a church planner? What are those competencies? What are your thoughts, Todd?
You had a lot of C's in there. So I feel like all my answers need to start with C.
They do.
All right.
It'll be a wrap.
I don't know about the wrapping part. However, I will say, you need to consider, I think, your energy level. Like, can you do this? What kind of physical and mental health do you have currently? Because it's very difficult to do. And you may say, well, my life is currently pretty difficult. I think I'm up for it. Great. Go for it. I would say also think about colluding. You like that word?
Yeah, there you go. See, bring it on.
So colluding would be, maybe partnering with somebody who wants to plant a church. Like, mm-hmm. Do you have to be the head guy? You could just be the teaching guy, or you could be a guy that comes alongside, some young whippersnapper and really helps him reach the entire community. So, if you're thinking about St. Pete as an example, you have all kinds of different situations with snowbirds and depending on the community that you're planting in, you may go into, that situation where, hey, you're in your mid-50s and everybody in the community is older than you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many questions here. So I would say, man, don't count yourself out depending on age. Count yourself out on competency or, you know, whether or not you have the energy.
Yeah, because age is one factor, but and energy is, you got it, right? Because you may be a 70-year-old man with a ton of energy.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're drinking kombucha and you're... You know, your Orange Theory Fitness and
I'll tell you, I've got an uncle that he basically has a little apple cider vinegar and lemon and honey, I think.
Every day.
As part of his, yeah.
All right, you know what? I've heard about this apple cider vinegar thing.
Yeah.
And my wife and I tried it every day for 2 weeks. And it didn't really do anything.
Well, maybe you need to do it for like 50 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 50 years. Well, we just returned the bottle to Costco.
What?
Yeah, they accept everything because it didn't work as advertised. Anyways, that's not the point. Okay, so...
No,
we're going to keep going.
No, you can't return a bottle that... It didn't work as advertised. What do you mean? What was it advertised to do?
Yeah, there were it was health reasons. You can use apple cider vinegar for health reasons. And it didn't work. Anyways.
What did you want it to do?
Chapter 4.
You have glowing, healthy skin. White teeth.
All right. Chapter 4 of Planting Missional Churches. We, Ed and I talk about...
You're a beautiful man, Daniel M.
Hey, I was no Abercrombie & Fitch model, but...
Oh.
All right. But chapter 4 of Planting Missional Churches, Ed and I write about what makes a church planter. And there's a lot of different competencies and whether individuals or teams or churches should plant churches. But I wanted to read a little section here because there are a few bullet points that we wrote here about what the wrong reasons are. Right. And I feel like when we think about what the wrong reasons are to plant a church, those are as important as whether or not God is calling you to. Right. So here are a few of the wrong reasons to plant a church. You have a strong desire to preach, number one, but no one will give you an opportunity. That's a wrong reason to plant a church. Mm-hmm. Number two, you're frustrated where you are because you can't do what you want to do. And you think planting a church will give you that freedom because you're going to be the one in charge and you can start from scratch and all that stuff. But that is not the case. That is not a reason to plant a church. Number three, you can't get an invitation to pastor an established church. It's not a reason to plant a church. Number four, you're out to prove something. Number five, you need to get some experience and church planting seems like a good opportunity to practice ministerial skills. Obviously not the reason for our friend here. And number, the next one, I totally lost count. You're dreaming of a large ministry to boost your own reputation or ego. And the last wrong reason to plant a church is that church planting is popular and someone just asked you to do it.
Yeah. Sometimes you'll have people that want to back you. So there may be a person who doesn't like your existing pastor and they're like, hey, let's leave and take some people with us. I'll fund the whole thing for the year.
Do it.
Or and maybe just a guy who doesn't have a problem with the pastor. He's just like, you should be a pastor and wants to, you know, fund you.
Yeah. There are a lot of alarm bells that have to go off if one person says, I will fund your church plant.
Yep.
That person might as well be the senior pastor.
Yep.
Because you're not going to be the senior pastor in that case. Hey, on the five Leadership Questions podcast, we had Jimmy Scroggins on, right?
Jimmy
Scroggins is the lead pastor of Family Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. And we, on the five Leadership Questions podcast, we ask five questions. But at the end of it all, after everything we heard him say, I had to ask a sixth one. Right. And what their church is 100 something years old.
Right? Yeah. They were founded in 1901.
Yeah. So the question I asked was, hey, in light of church planting being popular, and I mean, you're obviously revitalizing a historic church and you're able to actually now be a church that plants churches and you're doing that aggressively and evangelizing the lost. The question that I had for him was, okay, so what advice would you give everyone else in light of that? And man, his answer.
He dropped it.
He did drop it.
I almost stole his answer to begin this podcast. When you asked the question, I was like, oh, I could just use Jimmy's answer.
Yeah. Well, good thing we're not going to say what Jimmy said. You're going to have to listen to that episode on 5LQ.
Oh.
Jokes. No. Okay. But I will say, because it was really good. It was really good. But do listen to that interview, because it is a really good one.
The interview's great. But tell him, Daniel.
All right. So he brought up the whole idea of property. He brought up the whole idea of, hey, if you're wanting to plant in the city, in a urban environment, there are a lot of churches that are declining, that are struggling, that can't really keep on doing gospel ministry in their area, effective gospel ministry in the city. And they have this big building that's been paid off, right? They're so, even though it may be a little bit slower to go into that church and to turn it around and revitalize it, there's a lot, that is something that needs to be prayed about and prayed through. Because he said there's this allure right now, right? There's this allure to
city ministry. I want to go to New York City.
New York on a plant. And
plant a hipster church.
And I know a planter in New York City that pays $5,000 a month for rent for 1,000 square feet.
Boom.
Right? Yet.
Is that sustainable?
Is it sustainable?
No. Not so much.
No. So what does it look like then to actually consider this as well and go into a church, maybe in a history. I have another friend, Graham Singh. He leads Church Planting Canada. And actually, I'm speaking up at their Church Planting Congress up in November in Montreal. But he actually took over a historic Anglican church downtown Montreal. And he is revitalizing that, using Alpha to actually do evangelism, mm-hmm. and to reach into the city there. And there's a big move into city-based ministry. Now, Jimmy said, hey, if you want to plant in the suburbs, if you want to plant elsewhere, hey, there are strip malls that are that you can buy you can come over. Exactly. And there's a lot, and there's schools that are wanting to welcome you in. But I think what he said there about this idea of, hey, we actually do need to consider, is God calling you to plant a church, or is he maybe calling you to revitalize a church? Now, I know we don't really talk a lot about revitalization on this podcast, but it is something to note.
One of the things I thought that he said that was really interesting as well is basically, it's like, I don't care if you're multi-site, church plant, house church, like whatever. We just need more churches. So he's like, I'm not going to put myself in any particular camp. The bottom line is, whether it's a new church or a new campus or a new house church, statistically, they are going to reach more people for Jesus.
Yeah.
And if we're going to move the needle on reaching people for Jesus in any city or any area of the country, we need more churches. So he's like, man, I don't care what methodology you use, just go start new churches.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for listening into today's podcast. Be sure to leave a rating and review and help us get to
200.